on the podcast, One True Podcast. John Werner alongside Bryce Cherry as always. Wynn Emmons on the turntables. And then our special guest here in the final week of the regular season is a friend to the show. and that is Chad Conine, longtime former Tribune Herald staffer extraordinaire, still helps us out on a regular basis, and also writes on Baylor and Texas Tech, both regularly for the Maven and the Dallas Cowboys, right?
That's right, and I'm just thrilled to be here with you guys. It's fun to be with you guys always. Even if we are talking about a really crappy football game.
Yes. And let's get right to that. So, let's...
Where do we take it from here?
Be sure to keep listening because I know how excited you all are out there in Red Raider and Baylor land. So, you guys know that they like to feed us in the press box.
Especially at Yatesville.
Well, at Gatesville, yes, so we're going to talk about good food, but right now we're not. After the Baylor games, they give you this pizza that is a generic brand. It's not Papa John's, Pizza Hut. It's not anything like that, not Domino's. It's just generic, and it's done there by whoever caters Baylor's food, their food service organization, whose name escapes me. And on the side of the box, it says hot and delicious. And that is false advertising because, as John knows, I've always called it warm and mediocre. To me,
and that's being nice.
That is being nice. And so this game, this week, I'm calling the, warm and mediocre post game press box pizza bowl.
You know, I've heard worse bowl names.
I was going through them the other day, and some of them are so ridiculous. I mean, yeah. Some of them are like, oh, God, what's the one? It's like the Vidalia Cherry Boca Raton Cherry Bowl. I mean, like, cherry's in there twice. So, I mean, I do approve of that.
Do you attend that one?
I don't, but I approve of it. So Texas Tech and Baylor, you know, they're both fighting it out to see – who's good enough to be average enough to make a bowl game?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like both these teams had chances to get that number six win, you know, before this weekend.
Sure.
So, if either of these teams, one of them's going to lose, which one would a loss be more of a disappointment for?
Let's let our special guest go first.
Well, I think... In a weird way, I think it would be more of a disappointment for Baylor. I think Texas Tech's quarterback situation is going to be such that the game is kind of there for the taking for Baylor. Baylor is the team coming into this game that's still on an upswing. They've improved from their one-win season last year to get to five wins, to even be on the cusp of bowl eligibility. I remember talking last fall about how 2019 was the year that Baylor was gonna get to a bowl again, and now that here they are ahead of schedule. Texas Tech, you know, last year was 5-6 going into the Texas game and won that game to get to 6-6. And Cliff Kingsbury has stated in a joking manner, but still a lot of truth to it, that was a must win. That he wouldn't have been around this year if they hadn't beaten Texas in that game, right?
Yeah.
So here they are again, 5-6 going to the last game of the regular season, and I'm not sure a win in this game is gonna save him.
Yeah.
And so you've got a lot of negative momentum there. You've lost four straight. I think that there's always a difference between the inside of a team and the outside of a team and the way the fans look at it. And I know the Texas Tech players, and they've got some talented players that are probably going to play in the NFL pretty soon, that want to extend their season and get to another game. But, you know, the reality is they've kind of limped to the finish here to get to this point. And Baylor, I think there might be more excitement from the Baylor players at the idea of getting to a bowl game at this point than for Texas Tech because, well, I hate to speculate on anything else, but I think to answer your question, you know, I think it would be more of a disappointment for Baylor to lose and not get over the hump there.
You know, I actually think it would be more of a disappointment for Tech because they were 5-2. and now they've lost four straight.
Mm-hmm.
And to go out with five straight losses would look pretty dismal. And
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they were terrible last week against Kansas State. They had 181 yards total offense, 6 points.
Yeah.
21-6. I mean,
it did not feel like a vintage Texas Tech effort, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, to your point, John, I think that disappointment is there already.
Mm.
I think they've hit the floor of that disappointment.
Okay.
And
they're just resigned to it at this point?
I don't know. I would certainly say the players would not admit to being resigned and maybe don't feel resigned to that. But to have lost four straight from where they were at 5-2 and be where they are now with they got to win this game and a bowl game even to get to 7-6. That's a pretty pathetic place to be from where they were. So
yeah.
One more loss is just going to be, it's going to be definitive more than disappointing.
Mm. I will say it does stick out to you when you say they were 5-2 and now are 5-6. I mean,
right.
that does, I mean, because we were at the time saying, you know, there's no way Baylor beats Tech. I mean, you know, because Tech was rolling along pretty well. I will say, though, for whoever loses this game, it's going to be a disappointment because Baylor, you know, would have had 3 shots to get that 6th win also.
Right.
And really, 2 games, I would say, out of those 3. The Iowa State game, I don't think any of us really predicted Baylor to win that game on the road, in Ames, against a good defense. But, you know, 2 games that are at least sort of winnable for Baylor. I feel like Baylor should have won the TCU game. TCU is not that good.
Well, and that's why we got to the point where we're at the Warm Pizza Bowl or however you
right.
call it. Because, I mean, I think both Baylor and Texas Tech both fell on their faces in terms of setting up this game at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah. So Baylor's offense looked like it was running in motion, you know, just running in place against TCU in that 16-9 loss. Amazingly, as you said, John, Texas Tech actually scored fewer points in losing to Kansas State. If Bowman doesn't play for the Red Raiders, can Baylor actually outscore Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think they could.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
Baylor's offense has been very inconsistent.
Yeah, but, you know, to give Iowa State and TCU credit, they both have pretty good defenses.
True.
Now, Tech does not have a good defense, although I think they're a little better than they've been, and I think they can get a pretty good pass rush on Brewer, but I don't think their linebackers are that good or their secondary, and they can be had. And, yeah, I mean, Jet Duffy, he didn't show anything last week, I didn't think. They tried McLean Carter in there for 3 passes. He missed all 3 of them. And they might be down to Colt Garrett, who's thrown 1 pass all year.
Good Texas quarterback name.
Yeah, it's a good name. Yeah,
yeah, Colt Garrett. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not as good as the other Colt that we know.
Right.
So yeah, I definitely think they could outscore him.
Well, I have to disagree with you on Texas linebackers. I think Jordan Brooks is very good. Probably the best NFL prospect on Tech's team. Enrico Jeffers has had a solid season. Of course, Dakota Allen got hurt, so they don't have the rotation there that they had before. The secondary, you know, you can make an argument both ways with a lot of those guys. Allen Fry was a freshman, was on midseason All-American. But, you know, obviously things haven't gone well for them, you know, as they didn't for Baylor against Oklahoma and Texas. You know, young stars, little Jordan Humphrey and Sam Ellinger made the plays they needed to make in that game. You know, in terms of Baylor outscoring them, I, you know, you flip that the other way around, as I wrote, you know, in my team reports earlier today, is that I think it's I think the key to the game is going to be Charlie Brewer versus the Texas Tech secondary and who can make plays there. And honestly, if Baylor's receivers continue to drop passes, that's going to give Texas Tech a lot of momentum on the defensive side. In terms of who plays quarterback for Texas Tech, I tell you what, if it's me or somebody that I care about, if they've been to the hospital twice this year with a collapsed lung, they ain't playing again this year.
Right.
You know, and The report out of Lubbock is that Jet Duffy is pretty banged up, not looking like he'll play either. Who knows about McClain Carter or Colt Garrett? So I don't know. I mean, you know, you certainly feel for Cliff Kingsbury being in the position he's in with the injured quarterbacks this season. I don't know, you know, how that factors into the decisions that have to be made after the season. But, man, I mean, your number one guy going into the season gets hurt in the first quarter of the first game. And then you have, a collapsed lung. I mean, who's ever even heard of that happening, you know?
Right.
And it happens, you know, twice to the same guy. So, I mean, you guys know, you've seen it before. When that quarterback wheel starts spinning, sometimes it's hard to hard for a team to find itself.
Sometimes you end up moving a wide receiver and playing a single wing.
Well, and it makes you might end up with Lynx Hawthorne.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
I will say Colt Garrett has thrown one pass this year, and it was a 45-yard touchdown.
Well, there you go. Well, and I was actually just going to say a good sign for Texas Tech is that Baylor just lost to a third-string quarterback who had thrown all of three career passes. I mean... So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I'll say this. I think where you've seen Baylor's offense really struggle is against very physical teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physical teams like TCU, mm-hmm. like Iowa State. I'm not sure Texas Tech is that kind of team. I think they're more of a Big 12 type team, wide open, you know, run with you, that kind of thing. And I think Baylor's that kind of team. And so, I mean, I do feel like this sets up well for Baylor to score more points than obviously it did this past week against TCU.
Mm-hmm.
And same for Texas Tech. I mean, to me, this is more of a shootout Big 12 type game.
Yeah, it probably will be. It's just hard to make any sort of assessment or interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's just a real mystery about who's going to play quarterback for Texas Tech.
It really is. Well, Chad, you alluded to it, but, you know, just what are the odds that Cliff Kingsbury, who's seemingly been on the hot seat for his entire career in Lubbock,
mm-hmm.
at least the last 3 years, I mean, you know, what are the odds that he returns to the sideline next year? And let me throw this crazy proposition out. What are the odds that Art Briles would be the Texas Tech head coach?
I think Art Briles as Texas Tech's head coach is a non-starter among serious-minded Texas Tech people.
Right.
But there is a lot of chatter about that out there. I think, as has happened in other places, if that were brought up as a serious suggestion,
there'd be an uproar.
Yeah, there would be uproar and possibly protests and whatever, and I don't know. I'm not going to say whether or not Art deserves that, but that's what happened. I mean, when your name is brought up in Incarnate Word, and they say, "Heck no," you know, then that's pretty hard to come back from anywhere else.
Right.
As in terms of whether or not Kingsbury will be back, I know that Kirby Hillcutt said a couple years ago he needed to see progress, right? And in that Texas win last year, Kirby Hillcutt was able to say, there's progress being made. The defense is getting better. You know, they won this game. And I don't know that you can, even if Texas Tech beats Baylor on Saturday, I don't think that you can point to this season and say there was progress made. There are a lot of people out there that have made Alan Bowman into the next Patrick Mahomes, which I don't necessarily think he is, but they are afraid that if Kingsbury goes, then Alan Bowman won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a short-sighted fear. To me, I like Cliff. He was being inducted in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in the spring. I obviously interviewed him for Republic of Football and you know, had a great interview with him there. But when you look at his track record, he won 7 and then lost 5 in a row his first year. He ended up going 8-5 that year and won a bowl game. Then a 4-8 season, followed by a 7-6 season, followed by a 5-7 season in Patrick Mahomes, you know, junior year. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you got Patrick Mahomes there and you go 5-7.
Right.
You know, and then followed by a 6-7 season. Where do you see, if you're Kirby or Hokie, where do you see the line going up?
Right.
At that point? And I just think that given other programs at Texas Tech, what Chris Beard has done with the basketball program, what Tim Tadlock has done with the baseball program, you can't just say, oh, well, it's hard to win at Texas Tech. Because those guys have done it. Those guys have invested in a program and built a program up, and it hasn't taken 6 years to do it.
Right.
And so I don't think you can look at that and objectively say, we need to get Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, beyond that, other football coaches have wanted Texas Tech.
Right.
You know,
right,
so,
yeah.
I mean,
well, and, you know, of course, I went to Texas Tech when Spike Dykes was there. And I guess, in a way, I want all Texas Tech coaches to be Spike Dykes. And I tell you what, Chris Beard is a good, like, you know, Spike Dykes can look down from heaven and say, I like what Chris Beard does.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, but Cliff, you know, he's his own man. I think he's a more reserved guy, maybe an intentionally more isolated guy. And I just don't know that he's, like, you know, made himself irreplaceable out there.
Right.
I don't think he likes dealing with the media. I think that's obvious. And he's not grumpy. I mean, he's professional.
Right.
And he's polite. But
he's very sort of introverted.
Right, right. And when I watch press conferences every week with Matt Rhule and Cliff Kingsbury. And the thing that I like that Matt Rhule does that Cliff does not do is he sets the tone. You know, he comes out and says what he wants to say about it and sets the tone. And he shows a higher level of investment in the program than Kingsbury does.
Mm.
And I know that's a pretty, you know, damaging thing to say. But it just, I mean, I'm looking at both schools and that's what I'm seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think Cliff has had plenty of chances. Let's see, what, 6 year?
Yeah, this is 6 year.
Yeah, and they've been nothing more than mediocre, and usually a little below mediocre. So it's probably time to make a change. Although I don't really think Tech wants to make a change. They wanted to see him succeed.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure.
Really, he's liked out there. He really is.
Beloved, I would
say. Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
You wouldn't go to Beloved? I mean,
how about
certainly when he was when he came
absolutely.
In 2012.
But I think the hope and what they projected him to be
sure.
when he came in.
Uh-huh.
And,
this quarterback whisperer. And
yeah, and you know, former quarterback there. But I again, go back to look at what Chris Beard has done and how he's invested in the community and he talks about Lubbock and how important it is, you know, that city and the way he wants his team to match what that city looks like and comes out and sets the tone of things. And all along, the knock on Cliff is that he just doesn't like being around alumni at alumni functions. He gets out of there as soon as he can. And, you know, I've had former players tell me that he doesn't do a good job of really entrenching
schmoozing?
Himself in the community. What's that?
Schmoozing?
Yeah, I mean, you can call it schmoozing, but at the end of the day, I mean,
it is part of the gig.
Yeah. And that's like when I mentioned Spike Dykes a minute ago, he's just un-Spike-like in that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a head football coach, you got to be a program runner and you got to, you know.
Got to shake some hands, kiss some babies.
Right,
and yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And you know what? At the end of the day, and that doesn't save your job, right?
Right.
But
it matters.
Yeah, and when you look at a declining team, a team that tends to get to the middle of the season and then fade, which, by the way, I have a couple of interesting stats for you guys
okay.
on this subject. For 5 straight years, Texas Tech has followed wins over Kansas with at least 3 losses in a row.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did the numbers today, and there's something like, from the 8th game of the season on, there's something like 7-23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have not finished well.
No.
That's for sure.
No, I'm sorry, 8. I think it's 8-23.
Okay.
But
well, there. So you hit on something earlier, Chad, which I was going to address in terms of this question, but which was just some of the injuries, obviously, that the Tech has faced this year. I mean, Dakota Allen was a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback problems. So on some level, you go, well, if they had those guys, they'd be better.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as you've noted, how much better would they be? Maybe, you know, maybe they finish with 7 wins. I mean, you know, it's just like he's had his opportunities now. to have the breakthrough year that you've always kind of thought maybe they had it in them, and it just hasn't come. And so, yeah, I think the time has come, and just like it came for David Beatty on a different level, you know, at Kansas, but it's Cliff's time. I mean, and so they'll have a new guy in there next year.
I think Cliff would tell you that he wants another chance to continue building this program, because they have a ton of guys on the two deep chart that are back next year, like in the mid 30s. But I think Cliff is also enough of a professional that when the time comes, if he does any kind of media availability, if he's let go, I think he would say, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't get it done. We didn't win enough games, especially down the stretch, to show improvement.
Right.
And because he's a reasonable guy. I mean, he's always been a professional, and he runs the program the right way. They haven't gotten in trouble. They've had kids that have gotten in trouble, and they've been punished accordingly, and in some cases been redeemed and back on the team, which is, you know, something you like to see in a way. But, yeah, I mean, you like a lot of what he's done, but it doesn't do much good to have the number one offense in the country if you don't convert that into wins in November.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, on a happier note, let's move on to some good teams in the Big 12. So Oklahoma and West Virginia play in Morgantown on Saturday. The winner of that game will clinch a spot in the Big 12 championship game. There's three different Big 12 title game scenarios right now, three teams that all have a chance at playing in that game. The three possibilities are Oklahoma, West Virginia again, two weeks in a row, OU, Texas, or Texas, West Virginia. And I could get into how all that plays out, but you can do the math at home. But two questions for you guys. First, among those three possibilities, which is the best game for the Big 12 conference? And which one would you most want to see?
I'd say Oklahoma, Texas. I think it's both the best for the Big 12 and the one I'd most want to see. You
know, it was a great game.
It was a great game, and, you know, it's a good revenge game for Oklahoma since they lost. And it'd just be kind of weird if Oklahoma – West Virginia played a second straight week.
Well, I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's a rematch. I mean, the Big 12 championship game is always going to be a rematch. Just, you know, it just so happened that it could fall like that where they play two in a row. But, you know, I mean, if they're the best teams, I don't have a problem with them playing. You're right, it would be weird, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I think I agree with John. Oklahoma, Texas is what everybody would want to see.
As far as best for the Big 12.
For the Big 12, absolutely. It's hard for me to speak to which one I would rather see, because come Saturday about 3 or 4 o'clock, I'm done watching college football for this year.
Yeah, I've heard you have some issues with college football.
I got better things to do with 3.5 to 4.5 hours of my day.
Yeah.
You know the Dallas Cowboys game against the Falcons yesterday? Very entertaining game, 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Well, there you go. That's the way to get it done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't need a friggin' booth review on every, you know, if it's going to be 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4, who cares?
Yeah. I would be kicking myself if I came on y'all's podcast and didn't let your audience know about my concept of meeting ball.
Yes, meeting ball.
Where you know, college football has turned into this thing where there's about a meeting after about every three plays, and your team needs to win a lot of the meeting ball before it can go win the football.
Yeah. I think next year at Big 12 Media Days, you need to bring this up to – it used to be Walt Garrison who was the head of officials. Now it's somebody else. Do you remember who it is? Mm-hmm. Anyway, they always – like the first day, the first thing they do is the official guy, and he gets up and he talks about rule changes, and it's usually just mind-numbingly boring. Mm-hmm. But I think you should get up and say, hey, look, we don't want meeting ball. That would be awesome.
Or, hey, here's an even better idea. There's a couple of Big 12 officials that I can think of that I feel like would really enjoy their own segment at Media Day because they sure do like to talk and explain. That's another thing. We get a lot of lengthy explanations.
Right.
When it's like, hey, he's either out of bounds or he wasn't.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Let's just move on and play the game. In fact, there was the play in the game on Saturday, Baylor-TCU game, where the ball goes out of bounds on a fumble or an incomplete pass, but it went out of bounds at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So there was no difference whether it was a fumble or an incomplete pass. The ball was still going to be in the same spot.
Right.
But they looked at it for a few minutes to make sure they knew whether it was a fumble or an incomplete pass.
Yeah, there should be some common sense, clauses in there.
They've extracted all intuition and common sense from the review process.
No question. I'm going to concur on OU Texas. I think that would be the one everybody probably would want to see the most. And, you know, there's enough time that's passed in between that one and another one that people be kind of jazzed to see it again. It was a great game. Came down to a kick at the end. Before we go, Chad, we have a new tradition we started this year on the podcast. Call it Culinary Corner. And usually, when we've had our guests on the podcast, like Kirk Bowles or Al Pickett or whoever, you know, we've asked those guys, you know, hey, where's the best place to eat in Abilene? Where's the best place to eat in Austin? You know, and so obviously this week we're all going together up to, so this could be our planning meeting is what this could be, but, we're going up to Jerry World, Arlington. So Metroplex food, when you go up to the Metroplex, either it's Dallas, Fort Worth, wherever you want to go up there. Arlington's kind of in the middle of all that. So, what's highest on your list?
Well, there's obviously a lot of different answers. Dallas, Fort Worth is a big place.
Yes, there's a few choices.
My spot is, it's kind of a DFW area chain, which I guess they all are. You know, successful restaurants in Dallas, Fort Worth tend to branch out to several locations, but there's a Mexican food place called Mi Cocina that I've just always really loved. I lived close to one when I lived in Fort Worth back in the early 2000s, and my sisters and I would go after church to Mi Cocina, to this place, and in fact, I would always order the sunset-style fajitas, and one Sunday morning or Sunday after church, we went in there, and they changed how they presented the sunset-style fajitas, and they brought me my plate, and then, like, three or four waitresses and the hostess, they were gathered around to see what my reaction was going to be to it. Because I would get it every week, and they wanted to see if I approved of the new new way they served it. But that was 15 years ago, and I'm still eating the sunset-style fajitas there at Mi Cocina.
So. Nice. You find something you like, you stick with it. I mean, all right, Johnny.
Well, I got to go with Kincaid's.
You can't go wrong with Kincaid's. Kincaid's, if you don't know, reader or listeners, that is a highly popular old hamburger joint in Fort Worth. They got several locations actually now. Mm-hmm. But
in fact, it's pretty much a tradition with us when we go cover the Baylor Tech game up in.
It's true. We have gone there a lot. Mm-hmm. We have gone there a lot. Now, I did the place I'm going to mention. I took you after a game one time, and this is definitely going to be a little bit of a curveball, just because this ain't a Dallas place, folks. This is a Chicago place that just happened to come to Dallas, and I was quite excited, and it's Geno's East.
Yep.
I mean, a few years ago, Geno's East started branching out, I guess, and they have a location in the Dallas Fort Worth area, but maybe even two.
There's one right by, I noticed last time I went there for a
Yeah, it's not far from not far from Jerry World. So we ate there one time, and I introduced Johnny to Geno's East. So that would be probably my choice, because I do love some Chicago style pizza.
Oh my goodness, yes. Oh, I gotta say, if we're gonna get up at 7:45 in the morning on Saturday and go cover a ball game between 5 and 6 teams, and we should have that to look forward to post-game.
Yeah, absolutely.
To treat ourselves.
We are going to eat well.
And since I'm riding, I may have to have a pitcher of beer or two.
Yes, that might get us through the day. Okay.
Don't drive drunk.
I said riding, by the way. I said since I'm riding. I didn't want anybody to misinterpret that.